The Organic Gardener is getting some R&R. He is off today, but you can always find out where he is and what he's doing at DougOster.com. But Denise Schreiber, the incredibly talented Mrs. Know-It-All, is here. And she always makes those phones light up early. And today would be a good day, especially if you're thinking about planting veggies or you want to have some conversation about the dreaded spotted lantern fly. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. All of your gardening questions are welcome. She'd love to hear from you right now at 866-391-1020. 1020. And if you're the 10th caller, right off the top at 412-922-1020, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate, well, to that great place out there right off the Wexford exit that is Sorgel's Randy and Company. But if you have a gardening question, 866-391-1020. So rain, maybe for a day or so, could it just go away? We have been pounded with the rainy weather, have we not, Mrs. Know-It-All? Good morning.
Oh, yeah. You know, I recorded it, you know, now I don't have the scientific method of, you know, recording, rain and snow, but my rain gauge has 2 inches in it. And, you know, just, you can hear it draining when you go outside, just kind of like they are sucking it up. You know, we always need rain. We don't need this much rain at all. It's way too much.
Way too much. All right, listen, before we take some calls, tell the folks a little bit about you, who you are, and how they can stay in touch with all the great stuff that you do every day.
Well, I was the greenhouse manager and horticulturist for Allegheny County Parks for almost 30 years. I have a degree in horticulture, and I still write and speak about gardening. I write for some of the trade magazines. And I also just got an email asking me to help develop a community garden down in Kentucky. I looked where it is, and it is actually about spitting distance from Tennessee. So we're kind of working out details on that one. But I've been gardening since I was probably 5 years old. And I like to have fun in the garden, and I like to do different things. I'm also an All-America Selections trial judge. So even though I retired, I really didn't retire.
Pretty cool stuff for sure. I love that Kentucky story. Okay, 866-391-1020. And as always, it never fails. Phones are lighting up already with gardening questions. So let's get to work, and let's say hi to Ed. Ed, you're first up, and let's talk boxwoods with Mrs. Know-It-All on the Organic Gardener. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to know when you can trim boxwoods, and I have one that has a bad spot in it. It's in front of a furnace release. I was wondering if I could just trim that piece out, or should I get it out of there? One piece is dead in the middle of it.
Okay, it's in front of what? I didn't quite catch that.
Okay, I have one that's a piece of dead wood right in the middle of it. I trimmed them a little bit late, I think, last year. I don't know if that caused it or the furnace release did it.
The furnace release will do it, and it'll continue to do it. So if you can move it, that would be great. And actually, it should be good now with all. One good thing about all this rain is, you know, it's well hydrated. So if you have another place you can actually put it, you can put it there. Just make sure that you keep it watered. I hate to say keep it watered, until it's established, you know. So don't, you know, water it once and walk away. You will have to water it on a regular basis, but then it should be okay.
If I cut that bad piece out, would it still live, or should I get another one and put there? Because I have to have it there.
You're going to continue to have that problem because of the gases released by the furnace. So no matter what, you're still going to have that issue. You can cut the piece out, and, you know, right now you're not using the furnace per se, but you're going to continue to have that problem. Can you pull it out a little bit further from the furnace release?
Is this a proper time to trim them?
Yeah, this is actually a good time to trim them. You know, it's when you do it later in the season, and then we didn't have a horrible winter. You know, we had a couple really cold snaps, and that can damage them if you've trimmed them too late.
Okay. The other thing is asparagus. I got asparagus. What is the best way to keep the weeds out of asparagus?
Hand weeding. There's no other way to do it except hand weeding. Otherwise, you'll damage the spears.
All right, Ed, thank you for the call. Lots of folks wanting to talk to Mrs. Know-It-All. Keep them coming, 866-391-1020. Charlene wants to talk blueberries. Hey, good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do I do? I've got spittle bugs. What's the best way to control them?
Okay. Since these are on blueberries, there is some controls for them, but none organic. Other than take your hose and just hit it with a hard spray and knock them off.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to get rid of spittle bugs.
All right. I have a lot of moss growing around the base of my blueberries. They're very, very old blueberry bushes, but they're still producing. And I just, is that good? Or what should I be putting fertilizer-wise and everything?
Now, do you fertilize them now?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I put
blueberries, is they like a really acidic soil, more acidic than most plants, usually like in the 4.5 range, and moss likes acidic soil. So the moss isn't going to hurt your blueberries, and especially if they're producing, it's nothing to worry about. And it actually kind of provides a little bit of a mulch for the blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay, I noticed that the base of several of them, there's like a deep hole. And so I've been trying to fill that. Is that unusual?
Is there a hole in the plant or a hole in the soil around the plant?
Right at the very base, the soil around the plant. And I haven't noticed that I've got any, well, I fence it in and everything to try to keep the birds and the chippies out. so I thought that was kind of unusual.
You probably have moles. You probably have moles, and fencing isn't going to keep them up. You could try to put a stone in the hole. You don't want to put like a big rock, you know, in that area, but maybe putting a stone that fits in the hole, and that'll deter them.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell people to kill moles, because in the grand scheme of things, other than in your lawn, they're pretty harmless. You know, they mm-hmm. just keep their insects. They're not really looking to eat your plants.
All right, Charlene, thank you for the call. Cindy and Allison Park, another question about boxwoods. We're going to get to her in a moment. Mrs. Know-It-All is going to be talking about spotted lantern flies, also planting those veggies. But if you have a gardening question, now would be a great time to call in. While you can get one of these available lines, always gets busy when she drops by. Number is 866-391-1020. Doug is on vacation the next couple of weeks, so Mrs. Know-It-All will be holding down the fort. We'll take a short break, come back, take more of your calls. This is The Organic Gardener. Without Doug, who's on vacation today. But don't forget, find out more about what he does every day at DougOster.com. All right, Doug on vacation the next 2 weeks, and it is Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Shriver, hosting today. Lots of calls waiting in the wings. If you'd like to join us, 866-391-1020. As promised, next stop, we go to Allison Park. More on boxwoods. Here's Cindy. Cindy, welcome to KDKA. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call, Denise. I'm calling where I work. We had 24 boxwoods that were decimated by the leaf miners. So my boss took them all out, and she bought butterfly bushes. So my two questions are, do I have to do something to amend that soil? Are they in the soil? And also, then how do I plant those? How does she plant those butterfly bushes? Is it compost? What do we put in those holes? because those boxwoods have been there probably 40 years, if not longer.
Okay, I would really suggest going online, getting the form from Penn State for their soil test kit, and test the soil before you amend it with anything. It'll give you an exact, you know, you need nitrogen or you need phosphorus or whatever, you know, before you just start putting anything in willy-nilly. You already have the boxwoods, or they're going to buy the box, or I'm sorry, the butterfly. Do you already have them?
She already has them.
Okay. kind of putting the cart before the horse.
I know.
So I would get a load of topsoil. Don't buy the bag stuff. You know, you're almost wasting your money. Get a load of topsoil delivered, and maybe your boss would like to fill the holes with it. I don't know how much space you need to fill in. You know, usually it's like by cubic feet. And so, you know, if you can work that out, and usually the company you're going to get the topsoil from can tell you how much you're going to need. Since you're only filling holes and not like a long hole,
right.
And put in, and I would, you know, you can plant the butterfly bushes, and then you still should get the soil test done. You know, and it's a good possibility that the soil will be fine, the topsoil you get. Now, I hope your boss realizes that you have to prune back the butterfly bushes on a regular basis, you know, to cut back the spent flowers. So I hope she has a good pair of pruners.
I know. Oh,
yeah. You know, there, and I don't know which one she bought. There are some newer ones that stay small, but butterfly bushes can actually get pretty big. So
you got the dwarf. They were proven winners. Dwarf.
Oh, okay. No, that's a good one. They tend to stay smaller. So that's okay. Good. You still have to prune off the spent flowers, but they don't get as big as the older ones that, you know, people use to plant. Good luck with that one.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go next to Corrine, Mon Valley, wanting to talk some plants with Mrs. Know-It-All. Good morning. You're on the Organic Gardener on KDKA.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay. I love these calla lily things, and a friend of mine has a whole bunch in the right of her and off her porch, and hers are blooming beautiful when they come out. They are just gorgeous little soldiers sitting there. So for Mother's Day, I got a calla bush. I was so thrilled, but I thought I lost the tag. I thought I read it said, for only indoors only, and I wanted them for outdoors. Are there other ones that I can buy for outdoors somewhere around here?
You can buy them at most independent garden centers. It's like some of the lilies you will get, or, you know, other plants for like Mother's Day, that sort of thing, that really don't survive in our climate. So there are other ones. I can't give you a specific name on them since, you know, there's so many. But you can get them. But, you know, you want to have a good loose soil for them. And you want to keep them, I want to say moist. You want to make sure you water them on a regular basis, not the rain that we've had, you know, the past couple of weeks. And make sure that, you know, you kind of keep them healthy. You can use some bone meal or anything similar to that when you plant them, and that should do it. I don't grow them, so I can't tell you if the deer eat them or not. That's the only thing, you know, because Bambi has a wide appetite.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. I don't have deer. I have raccoons that come out, and I like to discourage them again. I think I'm going to have to get the cayenne pepper out and dust everything. That usually works. But
yeah, you can also use you know, any of the repellents, you know, like that we have for deer, you know, to spray on your plants. And you could even probably spray, if you have it mulched, like lightly mulched, you know, you could actually spray the mulch with it too.
Okay, I mulch it. Well, I don't mulch a lot. I usually mostly use compost, like an inch all over everything. So, is that good?
Yeah, using a compost is fine, but you can put mulch on top of it because the mulch will help keep the moisture in the ground.
Okay, let me recap this. I'm to go to a nursery, and I can find the outdoor calla lilies there. The one I have is going to have to sit somewhere in the house in a bright window.
Yeah. Well, you can put it out on the porch for the summer. It's just not going to winter over.
But oh, it's gorgeous. It came from one of those food store box stores, you know, that are everywhere now, the German place.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, you can put it outside for the summer. It'll be fine. You know, and if you want, you know, when the blooms start to head south, so to speak, you could even try planting it in an area that is close to the house. And, you know, it might come back. I mean, sometimes they do, but there are calla lilies that you can buy for the outdoors.
If I was to
bring
to a container, my next step after the blooms subside and it's starting just to be green again, can I plant that in another container, like for the house or the porch or whatever, at that point?
You can probably leave it in the container that it came in.
Oh, it came in such a small one. And I've got little drops of water coming off all the leaves, off the ends of the leaves and the blooms. What is that all about? I've never seen a plant water itself.
It's not that they water itself. It's just a reaction to, you know, being indoors. I actually have succulents that started to flower, and there's actually little droplets on it as well. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, you can put it in another pot. I would say don't get a big pot, but get one that's maybe, you know, an inch or two bigger than the one it's in.
Okay, I'm ready to go with that then. Okay, very good. Denise, I love your portion of the show. I really think you should have a bigger portion every Sunday. I really do. You're really terrific, and I admire you so much. Thank you so much for being there.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We appreciate the call, Corrine. Have a wonderful day. Listen, when we come back, we want to take as many calls as we can in the final two segments. Plus, I'm going to let her talk a little bit about spawner lantern flies, if you have a question about that. And also, planting those veggies. It's that time of year to start digging in and get at it. So, Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber in this week and next for Doug, who's on vacation. You can continue to follow Doug always at DougOster.com. Coming up next hour, it's all about from burgers to meatloaf to meatballs, ground meat recipes. And then we've got much more throughout the day, including we'll wrap up our day with two full hours at a Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday show. Pirates, a heartbreaking loss to the Cubs, that controversial call at home plate. We're going to be talking about that. We've got a lot of stuff to get to as far as the Preakness Stakes is concerned. Siege the Gray outlasted Kentucky Derby winner Mystic Dan. And it's the final round of the PGA Championship Valhalla in Louisville. You have got Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa tied for the top spot going into the fourth and final round. They'll be teeing off in a group later this afternoon, and they are at 15 under. It's your Pratt Pack today with Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, pinch hitting for Doug Oster on the Organic Gardener. A couple of minutes away from Rob Taylor and that local news at 7:30 for a Sunday morning on KDKA. All right, back. Mrs. Know-It-All in for Doug, who's on vacation today. You can find out what Doug's always doing by going to DougOster.com. If you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate from the amazing folks at Janoski's Farm out in Clinton, where they're going to be opening within the half hour. Lots of good things happening out there, so get out and say hello to the Janoski family. But if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you will win a gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. And if you have a question for Mrs. Know-It-All, highly urge you to dial this number, 866-391-1020. All right, let's go to Eleanor. She wants to talk mildew. She's out in Bethel Park, and she's on KDKA. Hey, Eleanor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I am good. Thanks for calling in today. What can we do for you?
Okay. I had cucumbers growing in containers on my patio, and I was told they got the downy mildew, and I looked it up, and yes, they did. And so I got rid of the cukes, but I didn't know if I needed to throw away the soil. And also, they were nearby pepper plants and some tomato plants, and the pepper plants aren't looking too hot.
Okay, what's wrong with your pepper plants first?
Some of them are losing their leaves, and they don't look as green as they did. They're starting to fade and look yellow.
Okay, so the rain, you know, they're also in containers, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it could be you're not getting enough good drainage in that pot. And with all the rain they've had, they're not getting the powdery mildew, you know, or the downy mildew. I'm sorry.
Not yet.
No, those diseases are a lot of times plant specific, and what you're describing is more like too much water that they've gotten. And I plant my peppers in containers too, but I've got a lot of drainage in them, and that's something they really like. I don't know if you're able to maybe put another hole in there or not. Don't water them, and hopefully they'll kind of turn around now that we're going to have a few dry days. As far as your cucumbers, you're going to have to pitch the soil because the spores will actually be in the soil.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, thank you so much.
Sorry.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Eleanor. Thanks for the call. Anybody else wants to get in here, now is the time. 866-391-1020. So how much damage these spotted lanternfly is going to cause this season, do you think, Mrs. Know-It-All?
You know what? They are going to cause some damage. Farmers have more to worry about, or, you know, growers that have, like, apple trees or growing grapes for wine or hops. That's kind of their favorite food. We will find them on plants. You know, I really never found them on any of my trees and shrubs. What I did find them on was we have a metal canopy on our deck, and they loved it in there. And I spent all summer just killing them right there. So I was on the Swissvale Edible Garden Tour last year, and I noticed that people had all sorts of contraptions. And, of course, everybody, you know, the Dawn dish soap, vinegar, Epsom salts, that whole concoction is just awful. And now people are adding pine salt to it. So they're spraying their plants with it. And we saw plants that were dead from, and they blamed the spotted lanternfly when in fact it's this concoction. And other people had like jars hanging with it, and they weren't catching spotted lanternfly. They were catching beneficial insects. You know, they caught tons of butterflies and honeybees. So skip that completely. You know, the best thing I found, and it sounds stupid, is I had a squirt bottle. And it had a really strong stream on it. And I would spray them, and that would knock them down. And I would get a fly swatter. That's the best weapon, or the fly swatters, and kill them that way. And now if you're able to kind of, if you see it like on your deck or your sidewalk, one of the things you can do is approach it from the front, you know, not behind it, because they don't have the ability to jump backwards. And you can actually just go up and stomp them and do it that way, or the fly swatter. But that's the best weapon. Is the fly swatter and your foot. I have a size 11, so I can do that pretty well.
All right, let's go right back to the phone. Say hi to John in McMurray. You're on the air with Mrs. Know-It-All. Hey, John, welcome to KDKA.
All right, thank you. I have a fig tree. It's the second year for it. Everything seems like it's doing very well, except around the base, there's a lot of, I'll call them suckers, coming off. Should I prune those back or cut them back?
How big is your tree?
I would say 18 inches, 20 maybe.
And it's in the ground or it's in a pot?
It's in the ground.
I would cut the suckers because you want to encourage the growth of the main stem. So I would cut the suckers.
All right.
Lucky you, I can't grow a fig.
I'm sorry?
Lucky you, I can't grow a fig. I kept getting a rust disease, and it would kill it every year. I quit growing figs.
Oh, wow. So there's no – a rust disease is like a fungus?
Yes. You know, it's like little red spots. Unfortunately, the one I got – you only get from Florida to North Carolina, but I did manage to get it here. I sent it off to a pathologist, and that's what I got. So I just quit.
I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, this thing's really grows like a weed, really.
Yeah, you can always send me figs. I'll take them all the time.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Cindy and Irwin. Hey, Cindy, you're on with Mrs. Know-It-All and Katie K. Good morning.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. This is our third year. We had planted some, they're called crepe myrtles, like a small shrub that gets a flower throughout the summer. But they are growing. I've never had a plant grow so slowly. And we covered them with hay and, you know, made sure they were really good this year. And a good bit of the growth, like, still died from the top, in which, you know, you have to cut off and wait till they grow again. So any secrets or fertilizer or things that you can suggest to maybe they're not good for this environment and they need some special help?
Yeah, well, you know what? Crepe myrtles aren't typically grown here. They're more of a southern plant. I love them, you know, but they need winter protection. We haven't, while it's been hot, we've had those days where it's like 87 degrees and everything. They need consistently warm temperatures to grow, soil temperatures. That's the important part, not air temperature. And so you can cut it, you can fertilize it. I have seen very large ones here just driving around, but they've always been in a very protected area, like, or a street that has a lot of traffic, so kind of the exhaust warms the atmosphere there. But if it's out in the open, it's going to take longer.
Okay. And I guess if you don't see any green on it by now, like on a stem, cut it off or keep it, you know, cut off all the dead wood, of course. Some are all different heights.
Yeah. The best way to check is just take the stem and put it between your fingers. And if it bends, it's still alive. If it snaps, it's dead and you can cut it. Or if you cut a couple places and it's still green, then it's still alive.
Okay. Now, just Miracle-Gro, or is there any special thing you think to put on it?
Well, actually, I would look at Gardentown by Espoma, you know, because that's a slow release and it'll feed it a lot longer than the Miracle-Gro.
Okay. Gardentown, you said, right?
Yes.
Gardentown. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I will look for that. Yeah. Cause I don't want to, we have quite a few. They look beautiful when they bloom. We were looking for a flowering shrub instead of just a typical evergreen or that. And they're hard to find to bloom throughout the summer more than, you know, a week or two.
Yeah.
So sounded good, but not doing exactly what we wanted, but they're getting there. Well, thank you for your help. Have a good weekend.
You're welcome.
All right, great stuff. We'll take a break. One more segment with Mrs. Know-It-All before we move on to the news at 8 with Rob, and then ground meat recipes with Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour. Back with more, it's Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, in for the vacationing Doug Oster today on KDKA. Let's see if we can squeeze in a couple of more calls for Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber, who's pinch hitting for the vacationing Doug Oster. Let's go to Virginia. Hey, Virginia, good morning and welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. I appreciate your show, and the reason I'm calling is I don't know what the name of these bushes are. In the fall, they come out with these feathery palms.
Can you give me a little more description?
Yeah, they really grow big. They come up now. They're coming up now with the green green grass, like tall green grass. And then the shoots will come up. In the fall, they have, it looks like it turns brown. And then they have these tall, feathery sticks that come up, like palms. You know, I don't know what the name of it is, and I wanted to know. I have one. The thing is I have one coming up in an area that I need to destroy it, because it'll keep growing and growing, and I have to get it out of there. And it's in a place where you can't really put a shovel down in there or anything either. Is there some type of a repellent I can put on it or something?
Okay, the only thing I'm thinking you could use, because I still don't really know what it is that you're growing, it kind of sounds like an ornamental grass, but I'm not sure. So there is a horticultural vinegar that you can buy, and you could spray it. You'll probably have to do it a couple of times. It is 20% acetic acid as opposed to the 5% on Heinz vinegar. And it'll probably knock it down. So you could use that. There are also some other organic plant killers, and burnout is another one if you can find it. But the horticultural vinegar you can find at, you know, most independent garden centers and, you know, maybe a few other stores, you know, like a hardware store. But that works very well. Just make sure that you have eye protection on in case the wind kicks up. You don't want it blowing back into your face.
Okay. Well, that you were very helpful. I'm sorry I put you in kind of a state to figure it out what my problem is here. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. And that sounds like what I need to do, actually. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
All right, listen, in about a minute or a little less, talk veggies and planting them, and then we'll say goodbye. Mrs. Know-It-All.
Okay, well, you know, it's getting to be that time. You know, Mother's Day, everybody goes out and buys their plants, or you've been growing them from seed. And while we're having warm weather, the best tool I own is a soil temperature thermometer. You can buy them at some of the garden centers. You can buy them online. But you want the soil temperature to actually be at least 55 degrees or higher before you start planting. Otherwise, your plants, your veggies are going to just sit there and go, you know, we're cold, you know, when's the soil going to warm up? Even though the air temperature is warm, doesn't mean the soil temperature is warm, especially with all this rain that we've had. You know, it's really cooled down the soil. Peppers especially like warm soil. And so if you're growing a lot of peppers and they're just kind of sitting there, the reason is the soil is too cold. So they're about $15. They're the best tool I own other than, you know, somebody digging for me. And put it in several spots in your garden, and it'll tell you what the temperature is. You know, the other thing is you can get one of those instant read thermometers and use that. They're about the same price. And, you know, put them in and just check your soil. And, you know, I mean, it's summer. It's going to be warm.
No doubt. Listen, Mr. Know-It-All, I've got to get to the news, top of the hour. Great job today. Looking forward to next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about. As always, enjoy your day and have a great week. And Doug will be back with us in 2 weeks from today. But in the meantime, news at 8 coming up next. And then we're talking ground meat recipes just in time for picnic season on KDKA's Coons Cooking Hour.